Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Father to child, spirit to spirit, lighted by your word. And with your breath of life, that's how I come alive, and that's how I change my world. Oh yeah. Said Father to child,
spirit to spirit,
spirit to spirit,
lighted,
I'm lighted by your word.
Yes, Lord.
And with your breath of life, that's how I come alive, and that's how I change my world.
Oh, sing it again, Father to child, spirit to spirit. One more time with me.
Father to child,
spirit to spirit,
spirit to spirit,
lighted,
I'm lighted by your word.
We worship you, Lord, and we say tonight.
And with your breath of life,
well,
that's how I come alive,
and
that's how I change my world.
Would you want to tell him, just breathe your name upon me, Lord?
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Oh, just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Your Tehwohe,
your Tehwohe is your name, breathe, Lord.
Just breathe your name. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Make that your prayer again. Just breathe your name. Oh Lord, just breathe your name, just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Your name, oh hey, is your name. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, just breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Father, the child, spirit of spirit. Oh, 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 oh. Spirit of spirit,
spirit of spirit,
lighted by your
lighted
word,
by your word.
Oh, yes. And with your breath of life,
and with your breath of life,
that's how I come alive.
Come alive,
and that's how I change,
that's
my,
how
world.
I change my world.
Oh yeah, Father to child, spirit to spirit,
Father to child,
oh,
spirit to spirit,
we've been
lighted by your word.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, and with your breath of life,
and with your breath of life,
that's how I come
alive.
And that's how
I change my world.
Lift your hands to the Lord, ask him, just breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Oh, breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Your Tehwohe is your name. Oh Lord, just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
out your prayer one more time. Just breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Breathe your name upon me,
just
Lord.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Let me feel breathe. Your touch, Lord. Your name, oh, hey, is your name.
Your name,
oh, hey, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. I am that I am, that's your name, Lord. The one who was, who is, and who is to come, that is who you are. The eternal God, that is who you are. The self-existing God, that is who you are. We call you Jehovah Adonai. We bless your name tonight. We are blessed to be here. And tonight we know you will answer our prayer by breathing upon us. Let your word light us and light our path. And may we be blessed because we came tonight. Thank you for all physically present here. And of course, Father, I want to thank you also for anybody who's joined us online. I pray that wherever we find ourselves this material moment, may each and every one of us receive a touch from you. We bless you tonight. We exalt your holy name. And in the matchless name of Jesus, have we prayed with thanksgiving. Let everybody say, amen. Hallelujah. Just clap your hands unto the Lord, please, and bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'd like to welcome you to Times of Impartation, our midweek teaching service. It's a blessing to see all of you again. And this month has been set aside as a month where we will be focusing a lot on mentorship and mentorship and revival, or renewal, actually. Mentorship and renewal. Amen. And so, I want us to prepare our hearts for that. All right. So, for the times of impartation, I'm going to be focusing more on mentorship. Everybody say with me, mentorship. And I did mention youth mentorship. But you see, this thing about mentorship, it's for everybody. And you will understand further as we move along. But I think that we are particularly interested in the young ones. According to the United Nations definition of who youth is, we are looking at the ages 15 to 24. But in the church world, we tend to look more at youth for the ages 15 to 35. All right, so as the person sitting by you, so what are you? Are you a youth or you're a fully grown Anopheles mosquito? All right. So somebody can tell my son for me that we thank God for your beard and everything, but you are still a youth. Amen. All right, that's fine. You know, so today I want to start it all off by sharing with us on the subject, the mentorship advantage. And I'm introducing the subject, the mentorship advantage. The mentorship advantage. All right. And an advantage is a benefit that helps somebody to be better or to succeed more easily. Hallelujah. Right? So that is what an advantage is. It's a benefit that helps someone to do better or to succeed more easily. And if there's anything that comes your way that you receive that helps you to have a better life and that helps you to succeed more easily, that thing is an advantage. What are some of the advantages you can think of in this life? Say that again. Great parents. You're perfectly right, my dear. If you have good parents, it's an advantage. Because they will show you the way to go so that when you are old, you will not depart from those ways. And your parents greatly influence how you turn out. Hallelujah. Because you see, when you are much younger, they take decisions for you. And they decide a lot of things for you. Your parents will tell you that you can't eat toffees and biscuits and drink Fanta all day as your major meal. You can't do that because your brain will become a toffee brain, not capable of doing much. All right? So you may scream, you may wail, you may roll on the ground. Tell your neighbor, when I look at your face, you used to do those things. Is that not so? And then tell your neighbor, am I a prophet or am I a prophetess? Hey. But good parents will put their feet down and insist that you have to eat the rice. This is my son. I remember one day when I had to whip him. His own pride was not over food, but he wasn't well, and there was medicine that he had to take. The boy said he wouldn't open his mouth. Eesh. It was not easy for him. And me cried at the point as I was doing the thing, I was feeling very bad. And I'm wondering where his mother was, because usually they like to intervene, and then they spoil the whole show. So if you have good parents, they would insist that certain things should be done. They'll tell you that you can't say that I won't go to school. You are going to school. Good parents will invest heavily in your education because they understand that education is an advantage. Amen. And good parents will make choices and decisions for you that will greatly help to guide and direct you through this life. How many can understand what I've shared with you so far? What other advantages can you think of? What other advantages are there in life? Something that will make your life better or help you to succeed. Education, we've mentioned education. Excellent. Anything else? Anything else? A good family. All right? A good family. A good job, living in a certain type of country, a good church is an advantage. The area you live in, especially in this season of heavy rains and floods, maybe now you appreciate where you live much better. Because after this last flood, it hasn't been easy for a lot of people. There are homes that got flooded. Yesterday, we had to do a fundraising for an evangelist, a lady evangelist, whose whole place was flooded. So we had a pastor's meeting, and we appealed to the members of the association to give some money. And by the grace of God, we raised quite a substantial bit of money, and we presented it to her. If you do not live, and Auntie Aggie is clapping because she's the head of Department of Compassion and Welfare, so she can understand these things. All right? Yeah. It's a very, very important thing. This past week also, we had to organize a pumping machine to go to the home of two of our members. The place was totally flooded. And we had to go and pump the water out. It came at a cost. But One of the ladies commented that she cannot remember the last time she saw the bare dry ground in the house where she lives. Because you see, they live in a kind of valley or ditch. Everybody else is up and they are down. So when it rains, they really feel it. And they have just had this water there. So can you imagine that when you are going into your room, you are swimming like a dabo-dabo or a doko-doko to get into your room. Life is not meant to be lived like that. May God deliver you from such a life, la. Yeah, it's not a good thing. So I'm talking about advantages, all right? And we are talking about mentorship advantage. You know, let's read a scripture. And that will be, if you like, a foundation scripture for this very important subject. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Just one verse of scripture. Let's start first with the New King James Version of the Bible. Proverbs 27, 17. And I want you to help me to read it because it's not a long verse. Let's take it together. Ready? Shoot. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't hear some of you. Let's take it again. Read it out very loudly and disturb everybody around, including our neighbors across the street. Let's take it together again. Ready, go. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Amen. Let's look at the same verse from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. It says, you got it or you no got it. You no get. Update your things. The New American Standard Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one man sharpens another. And then from the Good News Translation, it says, people learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. All right? People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. I don't see too many of them these days. But when we were younger, there were these guys who carried a certain machine moving from community to community, trying to find out if anybody has something that they would like to sharpen. So it was a little bench, a short bench, and then they had a metal disc attached to it, and protruding from it was a handle, like the handle of a sewing machine, all right? It's a lever, and what they do is that if you have anything to sharpen, they put it down, they sit on it, and then they take it. It may be a cutlass, it may be a knife, and they hold it against that round metal, you know, piece. And then they begin to roll and roll and roll. And what they are trying to do is to take away the dullness of whatever they are sharpening. And they are trying to sharpen it and make it more effective for use. Have you seen them before? Do they still exist? They do. Yeah. But I don't think that. So what do people do these days? Anyway, there are little devices that you can get from the supermarkets that are used to sharpen things. And it's the same principle. And that's what the Bible is referring to here as iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. Now, so this scripture that we read is explaining to us that just as rubbing one piece of iron against another can make it sharper and more effective, it is possible to have people in your life who can help you develop or make you a better person. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what the verse is saying. That you can sharpen a piece of iron with another piece of iron. And in a similar fashion, you can have certain people in your life who can sharpen you and help to develop you and make you better in life. Hallelujah. And you know, you yourself also can become a vessel that God can use to improve somebody else's life. Amen. Yes. And I think that one of the goals that each and every one of us must have as we go through life is that I should become a source of blessing. I should become a vessel that God will use to make somebody else's life better. Don't be too self-centered. And don't just focus on yourself and what you want. But bring yourself to the place where through you, somebody's life can improve. Through you, somebody's life can become better. Through you, somebody will do well in life. Hallelujah. May you become such a vessel in the lives of others. Amen. All right. You know, Paul quoted Jesus. We don't really know exactly where Jesus said it, but he quoted and said that Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. All right? He was talking about giving, you know, donations and money and offerings and gifts and all of that. But the principle is still the same. In this life, you are more blessed if you are a giver. That means that you give of yourself, you give of your time, your strength, your energy, your resources to improve somebody else's life. And it's one of the things that gives a lot of gratification. So I want to encourage you, shift from that place of just being a receiver and always looking for somebody to deposit something into your life. And rather come to the place where you become a giver and looking for opportunities to add on to people's life, to improve people's life, to help somebody develop, to influence another life, and to guide somebody else. May you become that kind of person in the name of Jesus. And there are different ways that you can, you know, go by in developing people. You can help to make people's lives better and develop them by teaching. By teaching. Which means you impart knowledge and understanding. All right? So you can help develop somebody else, like iron sharpens iron, by teaching the person and imparting knowledge and understanding. All right? So that is why our teachers are very valuable, especially if you have a very good teacher. There are some teachers, I don't know who asked them to go into the teaching profession because they are lousy teachers. You never understand anything that they are teaching. I've had lecturers like that before in my life. And if it wasn't for some of my mates who were sharper than the rest of us, there are certain courses that I may never had been able to get a good grasp of. Because if it was left with the lecturer alone, Mary, do you see? So teaching is a great gift. And one of the ways you can help develop other people is by teaching. Another thing is by training. You can help develop others by training them. So you help them to develop practical skills and competence. All right? So if you have a mechanic shop and you take on an apprentice, you are training the person. If you have a hairdressing salon and you take on people, what you're doing is you're training them and you are helping to develop them and make their lives better. All right? Another way you can develop people's lives is by coaching them. And when you're coaching people, your aim is to improve their performance and help them to achieve certain specific goals. Okay? So that's what a coach does. So you see, a football team needs a very good coach. Otherwise, you may have very gifted and talented players, but you cannot get them to deliver. Amen? Yes. And all of us felt when Ghana had a new coach, And when we looked at what the team could do, you know, we felt that this coach is better than the one we had before, because we are getting better results. And our coach got his tactics very well. He got them spot on. That's how come we could play England. Because between you and me, I didn't have any hope at all. And let's not be too known as a country. When the World Cup was starting, did you think that Ghana would get this far? So let's applaud the guys and let's stop insulting. The person who has received the most insults is Jordan Ayew. Oh! He needs to be insulted. Pastor James, allow. Eh? It's not just his fault. You know? I saw somebody had written something against Anthony Semenyo, that's the name. Semenyo, Antoine Semenyo. It's like Awanyo, Semenyo. I'd written and I put out some statistics. He didn't score any goal. He didn't assist any goal. You know, and it wasn't very good. All right, but I want to say that our coach was a good coach. Has he resigned? Not officially. They are trying to retain him. Yeah, he's a good coach. And if he's given some more time, perhaps we can get something good out of the team. But that is the value of a coach. All right? That's the value of a coach. And sometimes the coach... Some of the best coaches that we've seen, like football coaches, they themselves were not very good footballers. Yeah. Mourinho was not a good footballer. But he turned out to be a very good coach. And what does he call himself? The special one. The special one. Is the most two known coach I've ever met in my life. Yeah. You know. So that's what a coach does. That's what a coach does. Michael Jackson had a music coach. I've forgotten his name. But he himself couldn't really sing. But he had an ability to get the best and to improve him. So one of the ways you can develop people is through coaching. But today and for the next few weeks, I'm not emphasizing exactly on teaching or on training or on coaching, though there are elements of it that are going to come up in my submission. But another way that you can develop people is through mentorship. Mentorship. And in mentoring people, there'll be elements of teaching, elements of training, elements of coaching. But mentorship is a broader thing. It's a very broad thing. And it is one of the clear ways that you can make people better and give them an advantage in life. Hallelujah. So let's define what mentorship is, shall we? What is mentorship? Mentorship, ladies and gentlemen, is a God-ordained relationship. Mentorship is a God-ordained relationship in which a more experienced, mature, and trustworthy person, intentionally guides, teaches, you can see teaching has come in here, intentionally guides, teaches, encourages, and develops another person. Intentionally guides, teaches, encourages, and develops another person so that they become all God intends them to be. So that they become all God intends them to be. I'll be kind enough to take it again. Mentorship is a God-ordained relationship in which a more experienced, mature, and trustworthy person intentionally guides, teaches, encourages, and develops another person so that they become all God intends them to be. Does it add up well? Does it make sense to you? All right. So with mentorship, you have to understand that it is a God-ordained relationship. When we say it's God-ordained, it means that it is God who instituted this whole concept of mentorship. So God instituted it, and it's a relationship where you have somebody who is more experienced, somebody who is more mature, somebody you can trust. That person comes into your life, and intentionally, there has to be intention about it. It's not incidental, it's not accidental, it is intentional. So that person intentionally guides you. He teaches you, he encourages you, and develops you so that you can become everything that God intends you to become. That relationship, that God-ordained relationship, is what we call mentorship. Hallelujah. Let me give you another definition of what mentorship is. Mentorship is the intentional investment. Mentorship is the intentional investment of one life into another. Mentorship is the intentional investment of one life into another to help that person discover, develop, and fulfill God's purpose for their life. To help that person discover, develop, and fulfill God's purpose for their life. I'll take it again. Mentorship is the intentional investment of one life into another to help that person discover, develop, and fulfill God's purpose for their life. Amen. All right. So that is what mentorship is. Amen. So based on this definition that I've given you, it means that mentorship involves different transfers. Mentorship is about, number one, transfer of wisdom. Somebody say transfer of wisdom. Number two, transfer of knowledge. Somebody say transfer of knowledge. Number three, transfer of character. Somebody say transfer of character. Number four, transfer of values. Say with me, transfer of values. Number five, transfer of skills. Somebody say transfer of skills. And then the last one is preparation for destiny. Somebody say preparation for destiny. Hallelujah. So when you talk about mentorship, it involves all of these things. It is about transfer of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, understanding, experience, common sense, and insight. Sometimes you may have knowledge about certain things. You may have understanding. You may have experience. But the knowledge, the understanding, the experience you have, you are not able to translate that into a better life, into making things better for yourself. And for a long time, our educational system has been a system where people receive knowledge. All right? You give them a lot of knowledge. But in many cases, they don't even have deep understanding. So that's why we seem to have a lot of learn, chew, pass, and then what do you do after that? You forget. All right? So you've received knowledge. Oh. You've received it. But you can't do much with it. All right? So yes, mentorship is about transferring knowledge. Yes. But I think that transferring wisdom is superior. Because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And mentorship can be the medium by which wisdom, that ability to apply knowledge and understanding, is given to you. Hallelujah. So transfer of wisdom, transfer of knowledge, transfer of character. Transfer of character. You know, character has to do with a certain moral strength and ability. All right? And virtue. That's what character is about. And you can have somebody mentoring you and helping you to develop character, to develop integrity. All right? So a mentor can help you to do that. Then transfer of values. All right? You can have somebody in your life who will teach you about values and transfer certain values to you. Values such as honoring your parents. Values such as treating people well. Values such as keeping a good environment. Values such as you don't eat yogurt and drink water and just drop the sachet anywhere or sachet anywhere. These are values. All right? Somebody can teach you values to do with being a good husband or a good wife. So all of that you can receive them through mentorship. And then skills, transfer of skills. All right? You can have somebody mentoring you and transferring certain skills to you. All right? And if I look at my life, there are different people who have come in at certain specific seasons of my life who helped me to develop certain skills. All right? And I've actually come to see that the way it is not possible to find everything that you need in one person. So in your life, God can connect you to different people at different times, different seasons, and different junctions of your life. And then these people will impart skills to you. And that will add value to yourself and make you a better person. So mentorship is about transfer of skills. And mentorship helps you to prepare for whatever destiny that God has set up for you. Let's look at a classic scripture, another scripture that supports this whole concept of mentorship. We look at it, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So today I'm just introducing the subject, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. I teach the way I teach so that you can understand things very clearly. Amen. All right. I try not to rush through things. That's why I take my time. Okay? So you must appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Because I can go on like a parrot. Rattle, 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 rattle. Talk plenty, 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 plenty. When you finish, you ask yourself that, what was said? And what do I learn? And you can't remember anything. All right? So the way I teach is by the grace of God. And it is intentional. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it from the New King James Version because that's what I have here. So the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Start from verse 1. And I said, New King James Version. He said, you therefore, my son. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is calling Timothy his son. Next verse. And the things that you have heard from me. Underline that. And the things that you have heard from me. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these. Underline that also. Commit these. That means transfer them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All right? This is a very solid scripture that brings out the concept of mentorship. So here we have Paul. He is the mentor. And the special relationship he has with Timothy moved from mentorship to a father and son relationship. So you can have that. You can have somebody mentoring you, but the person becomes like a father or a mother to you, and you become like a son or a daughter to that person. So the relationship, and that is the highest level of mentorship, if you like, where the mentor becomes like a father to the mentee, the one being mentored. Hallelujah. So he writes to him, and what does he say to him? He says, and the things that you have heard from me. In other words, there are certain things that I have transferred to you. I imparted them to you. Certain knowledge, certain wisdom, certain understanding. Look, at one point, Paul wrote to Timothy and told him, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. All right? You know, now that instruction that he gave him was an instruction of wisdom, because there was a condition that Timothy had that needed to be dealt with. And, you know, wine has medicinal values also. Somebody is saying, oh, Father, today you have touched the heart of our pastor to address this problem that I've been battling with. I feel I'm a bit afraid to cry. Hey! You see, when you do that, you are spoiling the church. Okay? You are spoiling the church. You see, the problem with us is that we like extremes too much. Because the truth is that there is actually no scripture in the Bible that says you shouldn't drink. And when we say you shouldn't drink, of course, we are talking about alcoholic beverages. And somebody said, why do you call it beverage? You know, because usually for us, when we say beverage, are you busy? Eh? Did you say Fanta? Where can Fanta be a beverage? Eh? Which school did you go to? Beverage, Milo, Bonvita, tea. Yeah, that's beverage. Horlicks, custard. It's okay. Let's just stay where we are. Okay, anyway, I don't want to digress. Yes. So, he gave instructions like that to him, which were instructions of wisdom. He taught him how to appoint leaders in the church. He explained to him what caliber of person should be made a leader in the church. He taught him how to relate with the elderly and how to relate with the young. And all these things, he was imparting or transferring knowledge, and was also transferring wisdom. So we can safely and comfortably say that Paul mentored and fathered Timothy. And that's why he could call him my son. And you don't have a lot of people in the Bible whom he referred to as his sons. That is why I find it very inappropriate where people want to call everybody their sons and their daughters. You alone, everybody is your son. You alone, everybody is your daughter. Abba. It cannot be. It cannot be at all. So use the example of the great apostle Paul and ask yourself, how many people did he refer to as my sons and my daughters in the ministry? How many? On the top of my head, it's just Timothy I can think of. Is there anybody else? My memory fails me. But certainly, you don't have a lot of that. I'll check and then I'll get back to you. So he calls him my son. He mentored him, and that height of mentorship was a father-son relationship. And he tells him that the things that I have shared with you, that you have heard from me, that I've transferred to you, among many witnesses, commit them, these same things, to others, faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Now, the revelation here is that when you are mentored, you are expected to mentor others also. People who have been mentored, if they are going to keep the mentorship relay flowing, because mentorship is a God-ordained relationship, they must get to the place where they are able to mentor others. So if you yourself have been mentored, and you've not been able to pass on or transfer the skills, the abilities, the values, the knowledge, the wisdom that were imparted to you, to others, you have failed. You have broken the chain. And that is why God's idea for us is that when we become disciples, we must disciple others also. So every disciple of Christ is supposed to be a discipler. You are discipled to be a discipler. And there must be people in our lives that we also are discipling. So we've been discipled, and we should be able to identify certain people also that we are pouring into, we are teaching. So that's why he says that from when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Hebrews 5:12-14. All right? So it's like, give me the King James Version. That's the version I used to memorize it. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What the writer is saying here is that there's a time when you're expected to be not just a learner, but a teacher. You must be able to impart what you have learned to others also. And here we see that there's an expectation of when you have been taught, when you've learned a lot, when you've been mentored, when you've been fathered, you also must be able to mentor others and to father them. So we see this mentorship chain revealed in the earlier scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 2, which I shared with you. Hallelujah. So we can see the concept of mentorship here, and as I've explained to you, it is something that God actually wants us to get into. It is God ordained. And if we want to be at a place of advantage, and we want to be at a good place in life, then number one, we must avail ourselves to be mentored. And then number two, we must mentor others. And this will give us a certain advantage in life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Some of the struggles that we may go through in life may come about because we didn't have anybody to transfer anything to us. So it's like everything, you've had to learn it the hard way. You've had to discover things by yourself. And usually that is very costly and expensive. That's why mentorship is an advantage. Because through mentorship, maybe something that would have taken you 7 years to learn or acquire, if you avail yourself to be mentored and you have a good attitude, you may achieve that thing in about 2 years. You've saved 5 years of hard labor. Hallelujah. So mentorship places you at an advantage. And it is something that God himself has ordained. So there are different biblical truths that we discover about mentorship. And next week, I'm going to run into that. So today I'm closing because when I start, I won't get anywhere. But since today is an introductory lesson, we will just end it here. And then next Tuesday, I beg your pardon, Wednesday, I'm going to run you through certain biblical truths about mentorship. We are going to continue talking about mentorship advantage, but we are going to look at it from another aspect. And I believe that you're going to be mightily blessed. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself now for a few minutes. And I want you to thank God for his word tonight and what you have heard, what you have learned about mentorship. I've explained to you that mentorship puts you at an advantage. And an advantage is a benefit that helps you to do better or to succeed more easily. I've explained to you that mentorship is a God-ordained relationship where you have somebody intentionally guiding you, teaching you, encouraging you, and developing you so that you become everything that God wants you to become. Mentorship is where somebody intentionally invests his or her life into you to help you become what God wants you to become and fulfill your purpose for life. That's what it is. And I've shared with you also that through mentorship, wisdom is transferred, knowledge, character, values, skills, destiny is affected through mentorship. And we looked at 2 Timothy 2:1-2, where we learn about mentorship from what Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the ministry. I want you to pray for yourself that the Holy Spirit should help you to avail yourself to be mentored. You are not too big or too old to be mentored. You are not. So even though we are talking about youth mentorship as one of the focuses for this month, don't shut your mind off and feel that then it doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm no longer a youth. The truth is that no matter what age you find yourself, you can still be mentored. And there are certain qualities that you need to be able to be mentored. One of them is a teachable spirit. Another one is humility. We'll talk about all of that as we move along. But for tonight, just pray for yourself and say, God, there is a reason why you've made me hear these things. That you want to make me do well and do better than I have done. And you want to develop me and cause me to be more successful in anything that I'm trying to do. Father, as we go through this teaching on mentorship, grant me the spirit of humility. Grant me a teachable spirit to be able to receive the biblical truths that are going to be imparted so that my life can become better, so that I can be more successful and do well in the name of Jesus. Just pray for yourself for a couple of minutes as we end tonight's service. Everywhere, physically here, watching online, just pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Ki alabadi, brebasidede, brekatayaramado. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for what your spirit is teaching us today about how mentorship can place us at an advantage. We recognize, oh God, that there are so many struggles that we go through, unnecessary struggles, which could have been avoided if only we had good people, proper people, trustworthy people involved in our lives, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us, to teach us, and to influence us. But thank you, Father, that it is not too late. And if we never had a certain kind of mentorship in our lives, I pray in the name of Jesus, lead us to people. Help us develop mentorship relationships that will greatly improve our lives and help us to do better than we have done. In the mighty name of Jesus, grant us humility, grant us teachable spirits, grant us focus, grant us concentration, plus everything else that we need in order to be good mentees. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to you for tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, God bless you. Clap your hands and let's give thanks to the Lord for his word.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.